I think each one of you could be up here right now and share some of your experiences, and we would be clapping for you. Because Vicky put it really good. When she came in, I said, Happy Mother's Day. And she said, it's the best role we have. And I really think so. So happy Mother's Day. And I feel privileged to have this opportunity. And first of all, I want to explain what these are. And they are not Hebrew. Sal thought that was Hebrew. It's Armenian on one side. But about a month ago, I was in California. And my mom and I happened to be at the table at the same time doing our devotion time. And it was just so precious to me because growing up, we had that so often. So I missed that. And so she was sitting there and she was reading and praying. And I was doing mine on the other corner. And then I saw her pull out this plastic bag with lots of papers in it. Lots and lots. I mean, like I'm talking a full plastic bag. And then she said, have I ever told you this? And she had never told me this. And she said, every time someone asks her to pray for them or gives her a prayer request, she writes it down, which I'm learning is the best thing to do after you're 50. Write it down because you'll think, oh, I remember that. And then at night you wake up and you're like, I forgot to call so-and-so or tell so-and-so or whatever. And so she said all these prayer requests, and then she said, I have another book in my room, but after I pray and some things, she said, I will pull them out and mention them to the Lord, but then the rest of them, she learned from my grandfather, which I never knew either. My grandfather, her dad, Samuel, would put his hand on the plastic bag and say, Lord, all those prayer requests, you know, each one, I bring them to you right now. So this is my creation of a plastic bag. And so if you open it, there is a piece of, mine has started already. I've already started putting my prayer requests for the last 1 month. And so there's a piece of paper in there. I want you to pull it out and I want you to write the first prayer request you have in your heart on there. Do it in English, do it in your own language, something maybe you're not going to let somebody else read or whatever, but this is going to be something. I wanted you to have something because how many times people have asked us to pray for them and we say, okay, and then you pray for them or you think of them the next day and then that's it. Or sometimes if you see the same person and you know the prayer request, you will continue. But if you put it down, then you can pull them out and you can pray for them. And the verses that I chose on there was the first one. It has a place where you can fill up with your name. It was the prayer from 2 Chronicles. This blessed me because there are so many prayers in there. This morning I was reading Nehemiah's prayer, and it was just amazing. Some of the prayers that, you know, you pray your own prayer, but I wanted to put this here. And I put my name, and it's Asa, the king, cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for rest on you. And in your name, we go against this multitude of enemies. That's the things that the enemy sends your way, which is the devil behind it. He sends you multitude of things all day long. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. And then the one, be content with such things as you have. For he, Jesus himself, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I had the struggle Tuesday morning. We had heard some news from California, and it just like what a big storm that just hit us, our family. And I was so upset that I was telling the Lord, you know, Lord, and he knows, you know, sometimes you try to hide things from him, but he knows, go ahead and tell him anyways. I said, Lord, I feel like you have forsaken us. And I mean, for about 15 minutes there, I was sharing my heart with him and feeling that way. And then I realized, you know what? That's a lie that's coming from the devil. Because Jesus himself said, I will never forsake you. He's told me that. And so if I'm not believing that, or I'm believing the lie, then I'm believing the lie against him. And so once that cleared in my heart and in my mind, I was like, wow, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because just Rylan, I mean, first of all, I wanted to say this. I want to say thank you to my daughter, Jennifer, and my son, Benjamin, for making me a mother. And then I wanted to say thank you to Rylan, Elijah, Isaac, Eliam, Zara, and Noemi for making me a grandmother. I'm a little emotional because we have a baby that's in the arms of the Lord, but she made me a grandmother once again. So I said that to say, you know, it's like you teach your kids things, but then I have the privilege of watching them. You know, I watched Benjamin correcting Elijah the other day in our house, and I had to stop myself because Benjamin was getting angry at me because I was going to step in and say, oh, don't make him cry, you know, I don't want... And he was like, Mom, you know, this is my turn to... And how many times I corrected Benjamin, so I understand that. And so it was so hard, but to watch them... And just a few weeks ago, I was telling... Rylan and Isaac were having breakfast with me, and Rylan said, "Mitch, Mama, Isaac lies." And of course, Isaac is the one that you saw that, you know, you have to write down what he's saying, because I have to call Rylan sometimes and say, what's he saying? Because I know Rylan probably understands him. And I said, oh, Isaac, I said, Rylan, I'm sure that, because he says yes to everything I ask Isaac, you know, he'll say, So I said, we don't lie. I said, because when we lie, it doesn't make the Lord happy, and the devil makes us lie. And Rylan told me, he's three. And he said, Mitz Mama, the devil is the father of lies. And I mean, I sat there and I thought, thank you, Kirby and Jennifer, because that's where that was coming from. I had never told him that. So, amazing what your children will learn from you, and I'm going to talk about that. And so just keep this, Happy Mother's Day, but it's in Armenian and English, and put your name there and put your prayer requests in there. And so Happy Mother's Day. But the first thing I wanted to do was read this to you, because I just wrote some of the things, and I thought that you all, I tried to write things that would include all of the mothers and grandmothers here. So, yeah, I'm a grandmother now. I can wear my glasses. One more tear to wipe, one more lunch to make, one more sock to pick up, one more time to check on baby, one more diaper to change, one more load to wash. One more counter to clean, one more toy to put away, one more kiss to give, one more glass of water, one more time to get up in the night, one more nose to clean, one more field trip, one more teacher conference, one more carpool to drive, one more school supplies shopping at Walmart. But all those one mores will come to end, but there's one more that never ends, and that's you praying for your children. Let's pray. Father, we just commit this day to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us here. You have a word for everyone, an encouraging word, a correcting word, a word to uplift them, Lord, and all the mothers, the grandmothers, the ones that don't even have children of their own, but I know, Lord, that they are mothering because you have put that instinct in us, Lord. And I thank you for the teachers that are reaching so many children that are in this place. I thank you for every woman that's here, Lord, that will hear a word in their ear from you, in their heart, that they will go encouraged to do this role that you've put us in, Lord. And you give us the strength, because through you we can do all things. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, one more Mother's Day. Yes, some of us face joys. Some face many tears. Some went through storms. Some of us are still in storms right now. Some buried loved ones. Some grandsons, granddaughters that sent to heaven. But through it all, we can say, Lord, even though we don't understand, we trust you. Even though we don't understand, we trust you. I really started praying about this about a month ago. I knew that Mother's Day was coming up, and I knew Terry asks me usually to do Mother's Day. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? What do you have? And I really believe the Lord has put a word in my heart for today. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, and starting at verse 4. And today we're going to do something that we all as moms or grandmothers have done over and over and over. Maybe about 100 times for some of you that have the many children and grandchildren and whatever. And it is when you take your hand, and everybody put your hands out, and you put it on their forehead, and you're checking for what? Yes. So today we are going to check our own temperature. So put your hand on your forehead. We're going to take our own temperature because we're going to find out, according to 1 Corinthians 13. I know that everybody on Mother's Day, you've heard a lot of messages from Proverbs 31. And when I was sharing my word with my mom on the phone, and she said, oh yeah, Proverbs 31, who can find? I said, Mom, everybody speaks about that Psalms, Proverbs. But I interpret that Proverbs a little different. I don't think it's one woman that can stay up all night and her candle never burns out, runs out and buys a field, and then comes back and dresses all her household, and then runs out there and buys wool from wherever, you know, and brings it in and makes it. And I believe that it's the body of Christ, all the women coming together, and each of you having a part. That's my interpretation. Terry can correct me if he wants later when it's his turn. But in 1 Corinthians, I want to go there because there is something there, and I'm trying to teach this to my grandchildren. And it is, love is patient, love is kind. Love suffereth long, and love is kind. Love envies not. Love wants not itself, is not puffed up. Okay, we're going to put... go back. We're going to put our names there, or we're going to say, a mother's love suffers long. A mother's love is kind. And you can, you know, check yourself. Let's not point to the one next to us and say, okay, you don't have that, or you don't have that. We can take our own temperature this morning. And so, love does not parade itself. A mother's love does not envy. A mother's love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. A mother's love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. I think the does not seek its own applies to all of us. How many of you have gone shopping for yourself and end up coming home for something for your children? Let me see your hands. Yeah. How many of you have been at the restaurant and called your children and said, I am at such and such a place, or we are, what would you like? What can we bring you? I mean, like, it's constantly there on your mind, even if when you go on vacation. I remember the first time we left to go to Switzerland for 10 days, and we were going to be in Switzerland and then join my dad in Ireland, and I thought I was doing good. The first few days, I kept thinking, you know, oh, we should have never done this. We should have gone home. We should have brought the kids with us, whatever. When Terry started saying, let's change our dates and go back home. But after the third day, I said, we are not. We are having such a good time here. I am not going back home till the last moment of our vacation. That was when they were in second and third grade. So you can understand. Some of you can understand. Right now you are there. You want a vacation. So, but we had even taken their picture with us, and I put it in every hotel room we were in. Right there. Because it was like, you think of them constantly. So you don't seek your own. I know that one we can check. But it's not provoked. How many of us are working on that one? And then, thinks no evil. A mother's love does not rejoice in iniquity. Check. rejoices in the truth. Check. A mother's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So I just wanted to give you something to do this week. Go and do the check and the check and the check. And whatever you're working on, ask the Lord to help you with that one, especially the first one. Love is patient. Second one, love is kind. You know, I'm telling on my kids a lot because I'm up here and, you know, Benjamin might cut me out the microphone in a few minutes, but I remember one day and I was correcting them about something and I don't remember what it was about. And I had my voice very loud and I was saying something and then the phone rang and I went, hello. And I talked, I think it was the prayer chain or something, you know, very kindly, sweetly. I talked to them, I hung up. And Jennifer said, Mom, you were speaking so meanly to us. But then when someone called you, you were so sweet. Yeah. Yeah, they will speak truth when you don't want them to. But they will. I want them to speak truth all the time. But there are times where, you know, yes. So, anyways, I'm going to go from Genesis, not go through Genesis to Revelation, but yeah, it's not going to be that long. Don't worry. But I'm going to just mention a few mothers because I feel that our role is so influential. We are influencing our children and God purposed it that way because of the way I see from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The mothers it talks about have always influenced their children. And in Genesis, I thought this was my idea again, and I thought that was funny because God created Adam, but didn't give him children because God knew Adam by himself could not take care of the children. So he gave him Eve, and then he gave them children. And I believe that it's a job for two. And I believe that there's many situations where only the Lord can help you through it. And I know that there's a big influence of mothers on their children, especially the first 7-8 years of their lives. And so when I went to Exodus, and yesterday, I'm going to tell on Benjamin because I was giving him my notes. And I said, I didn't find Moses' mother's name. So I text Benjamin. I said, oh, don't worry, Benjamin. I don't know what Moses' mother's name was. And I was still writing when he sent me a text. And he said it was Jochebed or Jochebed. And I joked back. And I said, oh, that sounds like go to bed or that's so bad. But before my text went, his came back. And his was telling me what it means. And I was so humbled. I text back and I said, I'm so sorry, Benjamin. You know, forgive your mother. Because it means you will see the glory of God. That's what that means. Her name meant you will see the glory of God. And her son saw the glory of God. That was awesome. Because Moses is the one that could have been from the baby as Pharaoh's daughter picked him up, or Pharaoh's sister, but she could have taken him home and had one of her maids take care of the baby. But what was God's plan? That a sister came out and she said, I can find you a mother for the baby. And she goes and brings Moses' mother. How awesome was that? God knew that Moses needed the first 7 years or 6 years, or even maybe it was a little longer, I don't know, to take care of Moses, put in him important things in life, important things about God, who he was, and that's how he knew who he was, and he never forgot that. And so, Jochebed, however you want to say it, was a mother that probably prayed on her son that he will see the glory of God. And Moses, up on the mountain, saw and spoke to God face to face. What a mom that was. And then in a few books later, we see Samuel. We see Hannah at the temple. And how many of you can take your seven-year-old somewhere and leave him with a priest or a pastor or something and walk away that far, go back home and come to see them only once a year? And Samuel has been a tremendous prophet in Israel, and his mom took care of him the first 7 or 8 years, and I don't know, but it says when he was weaned, but I think it was longer at that time. She brought him, and she was a big influence. And then we go to the kings. Now, this one amazes me because in Samuel and Kings, you will read all the kings that were evil in the sight of the Lord, and they were good in the sight of the Lord. And amazingly, many of them that is mentioning they were good in the sight of the Lord mentions their mother's name. Even though it's saying they are the sons of this king and they are the sons of that king, and it's going on and on and on, but it mentions the mother's names to be mentioned in the Word of God or in the Kings. I mean, those were the books that were written, and their mother's names were mentioned because there was a purpose. God had a purpose. Everything he wrote in the Word of God was for us, for edification, for teaching, for encouragement. So the job you're doing right now, the young children, the old children, the ones that you are praying for, and I will come to that because I found a mother that prayed, or praying, which is asking. She asked of Jesus face to face something for her children and how God answered her prayers. Not in the way she asked, but I am going to come there. But I just want you to see how you're influencing your children. It is very important in the eyes of the Lord how you treat your children, how you teach them, how much time you give them, what you are putting into them. And then to know that the prayer for your children, some of us don't have the children in our homes. Well, they don't live there, but they are there a lot. But we are blessed. We are really blessed to have our children next door. And I keep telling them, I tell Jennifer and Alyssa, I say, you know, I think I paved the way because I sowed in tears all those years that I lived in Bridalwood Estates and my mom was way over in California. That now you guys have, you know, me right there whenever you need it. And I love the grandchildren to come and ring on the doorbell or knock on the door, which I know it's them when it just keeps knocking. Until I open it and it, you know, you look through the window and you can, they're down there and it's just the most precious sight ever. But, in the influence of prayer, and we will go to, first we will go to 2 Timothy 1:5. And, Paul writes this and says to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, And he doesn't say the father's name. And it might be because he was Greek, or it might be because people have said that, but it's first in your grandmother. So you can pass your faith to your children. You can teach them and they'll catch it. They'll catch it because we each have faith God has given us. But we can increase that faith by the word, by teaching them the word and telling them God can do anything. God is faithful. God will never forsake us. And so he said, in your grandmother Lewis, and then your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it is in you also, Timothy. And I thought that was beautiful. And then we go to Matthew 20. And this is where I saw something this week was amazing. I got so excited because I really believe the Lord put it in my heart. I had never seen it this way. So we go to Matthew 20, And here it is. Then came to him the mother. She's only called the mother. So, it can be any mother. But she is the mother of Zebedee's children. There's their dad's name mentioned there. And they were with her sons. They were James and John, which later we'll find out, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And that is what prayer is. You come to the Lord for your children, for your grandchildren, and you desire. What is your desire today? What is your heart's desire for your children today? Some of you probably wrote that in your paper and put it in your prayer box or prayer bag. But this is what she wanted. She said, and Jesus, now Jesus says unto her, we had just finished studying Esther, and we found out how Esther very wisely came to the king and then invited the king to come for supper at her house. And they sat down and the king said to her, Esther, what is your petition? And she waited. He came back the next day and he asked her again, what is your petition? We can come to the King of Kings because we are his children. And he is saying to her, what is it that you want? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Now, when we look at that, we look at that verse, we say, wow, that mom, you know, she wanted the best. She wanted to make sure that when Jesus came in his kingdom, her children had the best places. How many of you want that for your children? You know, we might not think about it that way because a few verses down, we see how the disciples, the others, were angry at them. I think they were angry because they didn't think of it first. That's my thinking. Because there was a mother and she wanted the best for her children. That's very natural. She wanted the best. And I'm going to show you, Jesus said, you know not what you ask. Because she didn't. She had no idea how big her desire was. But he said, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. And then he said, yes, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand, on my left, is not mine to give, but it shall be given for whom it is prepared of my Father. Okay, so the Lord is saying yes. And then the next verse is, the others were full of indignation. They were like, why didn't our mom come and ask that? That's what they were saying, because it was something wonderful that their mom, James's John's mom, was coming up with. So here we think, okay, she came to Jesus, she asked for something, and she didn't get it, right? When you stop right there, that's what you're going to think. This week, I saw something. I saw that in the first way Jesus answered her prayer, of course, here, it sounds like it is something so big. Well, Ephesians 3:20, it says, he is able to give you far above, exceedingly beyond what you ask, imagine, or think. That's our God. I remembered one day I was in Walmart, and I had one of the oldest phones, if Lori's in here. And I came out of my car, and this was like 12 or 13 years ago. And I remember walking out and with this heavy load in my heart, I was dealing with something and I was almost in tears, but I took my phone, I came out, and my phone rang, and my dad called me from, I don't even remember what part of the world he was in. And he said, "Hey, Achigas, how are you doing?" And of course, my first was just started crying and telling my dad what I was going through. Didn't tell him exactly, but I said, "Dad, pray, because I have got this heavy thing." And the first verse he gave me was Ephesians 3:20. He said, "God is able to do far above, exceedingly beyond what you imagine or think." And he prayed with me. And then 3 years later, I want to say, because some things will take a while, the Lord did something far above, exceedingly beyond what I was even imagining or thinking. So God keeps his promises. I can tell you that. I can tell you how sometimes you're praying for something and you have no idea. And that happened with us almost 11 years now. 2005, because I remember I was standing at a bathroom window looking out, and it looked to the woods behind. And if you know me, I don't really like looking to the woods. I want mountains and I want Mediterranean Sea. And so I was standing there and I was crying and I was telling the Lord, "Look, look, Lord, look at what I'm looking at. I'm missing Lebanon. I'm missing the mountains and I'm missing." So I was just, you know, I wasn't at the front window because that looked to the school and I love the school. So I was in the back looking in the woods and I was just crying. 3 weeks later, my dad went to the hospital in Lebanon. And we got the phone call. But he was saying, "Don't come, I'm okay." And he had a tour to Israel. And he kept telling my brother, "Do not cancel my tour. I'm getting out of this hospital bed," while the doctors were telling us, "He needs rest for at least 2-3 months. He's not supposed to do anything." Dad was telling us on the phone, "Do not cancel my tour. The people from Singapore are coming all the way to Israel. I'm going to get out of this bed and I'm going." Okay, so my brother thought that I should go and help Dad because he's going to come out of the hospital. Well, I thought Terry should come and help me because there were so many people, places in Israel, I have no idea how to explain. And so I knew he knew the historical background. So I asked my dad and he was like, "Okay, you guys go and meet the group and I will be there." And he really was. We flew to Tel Aviv a day before my dad flew in. We were there to meet the group. Dad flew to Cyprus. I mean, he had gotten out of the hospital bed, flew to Cyprus, and came to Israel. But all the way to Galilee, in the back of the car, Terry has brought him pillows and things from the hotel so he can lay. Guess who laid in the back of the car? The van. Dad was like so wound up. He was so excited that he was in Israel. So Terry said, "Well, I brought all these blankets and things." He climbed in the back. And of course, my dad and I talked the whole way to Galilee. I think it took like an hour and a half or 2 hours drive. But the amazing thing was that first day when Terry and I arrived, and in Nazareth is where Dad missed Nazareth, they gave us the room that he was supposed to have. So when Terry opens the door and I walk into the room, and it was like a suite, I walked to the window, this huge window. I stood there. 3 weeks later of my crying and talking with the Lord. Sometimes we're crying out to the Lord in our distress. Guess what? Our voice comes into his ear. One of the Psalm verses says that. We think that he doesn't hear us. Well, I am here to tell you today, he hears every cry from your heart, in the secret place, wherever you are, he's hearing it. Because as I stood there, and Terry's looking out the window with me, and we're looking, the mountains, and you can see the water, and I mean, like, it was an amazing scene. The Lord whispered, "I heard you. I heard you. 3 weeks ago, I heard you." Who would have thought that Dad was going to need me to go and Terry was going to be there with me and we were going to be there? So, you're missing something? You're missing someone? You want to go somewhere. You have a desire in your heart. Guess who you cry out to? Yes, sometimes you have to cry out to your husband. But most of the time, cry out to the Lord because He hears you and He will give you the desires of your heart. This was her desire. Yes, it was big. But what happened to her children, it opened my eyes this week. The first place, there were four answers. The first one was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In James and John, in Matthew 26, verse 36, Jesus brings all the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. But then in verse 37, He only takes Peter and the two sons. In case you confused the James and John and said, who were they? It says the two sons of Zebedee, and He showed them exactly what He was going through. Not all the disciples, but the two were there. That was first answer to prayer. As a mom, when you're praying for something, she probably saw that Jesus took those three into His innermost circle. That was answer number one. Answer number two was a few weeks before that on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was up there on the mountain, who did He take? He took Peter, James, and John. And they saw Moses and Elijah. I mean, you know, the mom is praying, okay, two seats beside you. The Lord is showing them His glory, who He was. Because of a mother's prayer, I believe, because this mother desired the best for her sons, not just mediocre. So don't settle for anything less. You know, sometimes if I'm in the mall or somewhere, the Lord brings people in my life, and I don't know, I don't do it all the time, so I know it's for special ones. And they'll be like young women, and I tell them, don't settle for anything less than what God has for you. And sometimes they're in tears because I have no idea what's going on in their life. Maybe they're making a decision. Maybe they're in a wrong friendship. Maybe it's something the Lord's protecting them from. And just happened a few days ago, and she looked at me, and she was like, and I said, just wait. Wait on God's best. Because we want that for our children. We don't want to settle for anything less than what God has for them. And I am here to encourage you and say, God is hearing your prayers. You just pray. As a mother, you just pray for your children. And then the thing that I had never seen, two points that I had never seen before in this way, was one, John 19, verse 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, which is John, He said unto His mother, woman, behold your son. He trusted a son of the mother whose name is never mentioned, with his mother. I believe He saw how the son treated his mother. I believe He trusted John because He saw something in John that He said, I can trust my mom with him. He said, here's your mother. And then He looked at John and He said in verse 27, then said He to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. And that amazed me this week because I was like, wow, Lord, you trusted your mom with John, one of the two sons of Zebedee, the sons of a mother whose name is never mentioned. And you know what? Today, we're honored. But 364 days, you do things that maybe no one sees, no one says thank you, or they do say thank you, but it's almost like, did they realize what I just did? Or you're thinking, I do this over and over and over again. And you know, some of you that have kids in school still, there's things you do every morning the same way. You can do it with your eyes closed. Like Terry said, we can be doing other things and doing other things at the same time. Like so many things you do at the same time. You know, you do one thing in the room and then you go to the kitchen and you're doing something and then you run back to the bedroom and then you run back and you're doing, I believe it's a gift from the Lord. Give ourselves a hand. Clap for yourselves. Because you get it done. You get it done. And so this is just amazing to me how the Lord has made us mothers, given us such responsibilities. But he says, you can do it because I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the last one where it's just like an American expression, if I can say it. I don't say this expression very much, but blew my mind. Really did. I was like, wow, Lord. It was just amazing. And I'm going to share it with you. And I told Terry, I said, if you get up there, because I shared with him, I said, you cannot use it until I tell them, because it was just mine the Lord had given me. Sometimes I have to tell him that, because sometimes I'll share something with him and then I'm like, you can't tell this to anyone. I'm just sharing this with you. But this I want to tell you myself. Okay, so it was in Revelation chapter 1. By the way, I want to mention this. My mom is one of the best moms in the world. I know you believe you have the best mom, but I believe I have the best mom. She learned at 74, 75 years old, she learned Revelation 1, the whole chapter, in Armenian by heart. At 74 years old. And every night, she says it before she goes to bed. So when I'm there, sometimes I sit there by the bed. Sometimes I'm right there because I tell her, Mom, before I go to bed, can you say it so I can hear it? And she says it in Armenian. And I'm trying to learn, you know, verse 1, verse 2. And you go back to verse 1, verse 2. And I was like, how did she do it? But this is the chapter she says every night. But I'm just going to read from verse 1 to 2. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified by his angel unto his servant. You say it. John. There he is. He is the one that got the book of Revelation. He is the one that maybe Jesus said, yeah, you don't know what you're asking for because those are not for me to give. He saw the throne room from our earth. He saw the heavens opened, the throne room. And it says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And then I want to go to verse 9. I think we have it. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha in Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna. And then it goes on to say the verses and then the churches. And then it goes on to where he sees Jesus. I think it's verse 19. Do we have that? Okay. I know Benjamin will do it. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels. And he saw all that. He might not have sat in that chair, but he saw the throne room. He saw Jesus in the throne room, and he said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am He. It must have been a few verses before where we missed it. I think 17 or 16. It says, I am He who died and was resurrected. And so that just blew my mind. To realize a mother's prayers a certain way, God doing far above, exceedingly beyond what He even imagined. So today, let's close our eyes. I want you to bring to the Lord everything that's on your heart that you are maybe thinking, like Terry had a story about the golf club that somebody, Palmer, a golf player, had asked of this sheikh, and the sheikh went to Saudi Arabia, I'm just saying this so quick, and sent him a golf club. A club where you play golf and it has all the restaurants and everything. So maybe you're thinking of one thing. You're asking the Lord, think big, ask big for your children. Ask for God's amazing plan. That is the best for them. And say that the Lord will bring truth into their life. The Lord will bring peace in their life. The Lord will bring His rest in their life. He will show them His glory. He will show them His presence. Lord, we come to You this morning as mothers. We are crying out to You, Lord. Some of us, You hear our voices, and some You hear our voices from our hearts as we're crying out for what is best for our children, Lord. They may not even be walking with You right now, but we cry out to You, Lord, that You will reveal Yourself to them in Your amazing way. Father God, You are just an amazing God. You are the one that put the stars in place. You know us by name. You know our children by name. You know our grandchildren by name. Some of us, You know their great-grandchildren by name. And so we call out their names to You this morning as mothers, Lord, because mothers seek their children's best before they seek their own. And so, Lord, we are crying out to You this morning as mothers, as grandmothers, and we're saying, God, we want Your best. First for our lives, and then for our children and our families, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' Your name. Amen.